Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Ahoy, traveler. You have entered a realm of noble heroes and monstrous beasts. A realm of epic quests and illicit affairs. A realm where tales of myth and legend unfold with every roll of the dice. Welcome to Tales from the Tower.
Hello and welcome to the Dungeons and Dragons Lorecast. My name is Sergio, and this, dear listener, is the next installment of Tales from the Tower, the actual play series from us and our patrons. This month marks a new adventure for our players, Darkwing, Tex, Harlan, and Grimm, and for you, our travelers. The Undead Gala, a murder mystery unlike any you've ever experienced before, comes to us from the Vineyard RPG, an undead crime mob campaign setting and guidebook from Friday Strout of Is Friday Productions and a crackerjack team of creatives. Successfully funded on Kickstarter last year, this Tales of the Valiant and 5e compatible book is over 200 pages that bring to undead life your worst nightmares in a fantasy gothic horror with punk flair. You can purchase this adventure, The Undead Gala, on DriveThruRPG if you want to run it for your group in the near future. You can also pre-order the full book now as well. Link in the show notes, as always. And pro tip, if you buy the adventure now on DriveThru, the PDF that you download from them has a $15 coupon for the pre-order for the whole book. So before we get started, some content warnings. The adventure contains violence, promiscuity, body horror, and indentured servitude. Now, without further ado, let us begin the Undead Gala. The adventuring group, consisting of half-elf ranger Gret Swainson, Grin, a gnomish warlock with a secret, the Shatterkai artificer who goes by the name Silas Barons, and Stella, the drow arcane archer, have been hired by an artifact collector, Tussum. He is seeking a key phrase to unlock a magical device. He instructs the group that a reclusive wizard, Ruhail, is the keeper of that phrase and might be bargained with at a gala being thrown by the Vineyard. Tussum provides an ornate golden box as tribute for their majesty, Aeslin Ravana, the host of the party and leader of the undead mob, and sends them on their way. It would be difficult to miss the splendor of the Singh estate, which crosses the boundary of earnestly acquired wealth ages ago and dives into the vision of the oligarch. The labor of the many provides for the few. A perfectly crafted dome serves as the grand top of a two-winged structure that would tire any servant traveling to and fro. Stone pillars of intertwined serpents hold up the second level, tongues and fangs bared before the imminent bite. The road is paved with impressively smooth white mortar, and yet it has been left unattended for long enough to acquire moss and stains. The shadows of the indoor partygoers are enveloped in burnt yellow lantern auras. A dazzling glimmer from within provides the grounds with a warm halo of light. Pleasant conversation, laughter, and boisterousness hums about the building. As you walk up to the gates, you see a slender human snugly wrapped in a dark dress with bronze buttons. Their eyes shift expectantly to your group as you approach, and they give a modest bow. There is a shift of their curly hair beneath the dupatta, which the attendant straightens as they resume their former position. Having that settled, they speak.
"Welcome to the Singh Estate, reserved by their majesty for the honor of the city's finest. You will find many pleasures and spectacles within. May I have your invitations?
Give him my invitation.
Eagerly.
Pull an invitation out of my pocket and hand it to him.
Stella would also pull out her invitation and just look at the person and just ask, so what do you mean by pleasures, out of curiosity?
Seemingly ignoring Stella's question, the attendant looks over each of the four invitations. Everything is in order, thank you. Well, there's food and drink and a party. What else to expect but pleasures and spectacles?
I think what my craft friend was asking is there pleasures of the flesh?
A slight smirk comes across the attendant's face.
Mainly involving blood, of course.
That smirk quickly wipes off.
I am sure you will find just about anything you would like. However, do be forewarned that the following activities are forbidden in the estate. Theft from a merchant family member, threatening a merchant family member, or assaulting a merchant family member. All come with their own punishments.
What kind of party is this?
How many non-merchant family members are in there?
Words right out of my mouth.
Everyone invited, for the most part, has the protection of the vineyard.
Do we?
Of course.
Okay.
I would not expect any of the other party members to steal or threaten to harm or even bring harm to you or your companions. There are fines for threatening and harming and stealing from a merchant family member. However, the other party goers are here to enjoy the festivities. I do not believe you would find any harm from them. Oh, but do be mindful not to explore the garden, as there's been an incident. A missing guest.
What do you mean, incident?
A missing guest.
What kind of missing guest?
A guest who is missing.
Can you tell us about this guest?
Hard ass.
I don't know the details, but they were here and now they are not. No one saw them leave, but they saw them go into the garden and no one has seen them since.
Okay. So is this all inclusive or do I have to pay for my drinks?
Oh, you will be well taken care of once you enter.
Open bar, dude! And I'm going to walk past them inside.
Stella's going to follow as well.
I guess Silas would be in tow as well.
Bryn would walk in and kind of just shrug at the person at the door like, oh, well, I can't speak for these people.
So as you enter Sing Estate, the grandeur of a rectangular hall illustrates a depth of wealth unrivaled except in one's imagination. A tear-shaped golden chandelier hangs high above, its crystals reflecting prismatic light. The reception area's alabaster walls are enclosed by four parts of an artistic fresco and three sets of double doors. A group of extravagantly dressed guests make their exit ahead of you, having just been ushered out by a pair of servants. At the far end sits a raised throne with a dozen chests bursting with valuables stacked in the corner. A pair of servants approach your group, offer to take your coats, your cloaks, anything that you might want to shed.
I don't want to shed anything.
I was going to say, Stella doesn't give anything up. She just kind of like waves them off.
They just nod and walk off. A small group of nobles dressed in flowing gowns and elaborate headwear chatter amongst themselves as they point to various parts of a grand painting.
What is this painting that everyone's looking at?
Silas, you walk up to the painting and you see painted into the plaster is a depiction of a crowd of beggars accepting gifts from nobility. Baskets of bread, rice, fruit, and coins are passed out by opulent individuals. In the center of the piece, as a radiant light from above shines upon them. The focus of the perspective is on the grandeur of the rich. Far less attention is paid to the details of the beggars.
You said there's people surrounding this looking at it. What is their reaction to it? Because the way you describe it, it's nobility handing out stuff to these beggars. What is the consensus of the people staring at the painting?
Oh, this small group of nobles love it. They're throwing compliments at it. One of them is pretending to be, or at least claiming to be some sort of art expert and giving like commentary on the technique that is allegedly used.
Ah, the brush strokes, yes.
Do I see a bar of any kind or like somebody walking around with drinks?
Yeah, you see there are servants walking around with drinks in hands. I mean, it's a full-blown party.
We had a gift to give to whoever here. Like, do we know what the gift is or where we're handing this off? Is there like a table like here in the foyer?
You have the gift. You take it out of your satchel. It's boxed up. It's in a very ornate golden box. And once you kind of look around to for a table to see where you can put it, and a servant notices you with this and taps you on the shoulder and motions for you to follow them.
I would follow them then.
So all of you begin following this servant and toward a sectioned off area of this hall. Aislinn Rovana is seated on a throne where she is receiving offerings from guests before they are permitted to enter the gala. She is flanked by Confessor Estilius and two armed guards. You see one group give their offering. Aislinn thanks them, accepts it, hands it to a servant. The group in front of you does the same. And as you approach the throne, you see this feminine woman with freckled features and olive skin. Her head bears a pair of maroon and black horns that curl back before rising to exalted tips. Like a shocking gush of blood, her reddish curls cascade down to her generous chest, reflecting a freshly oiled sheen. The dark eyeshadow she wears today provides kindling for the ember of her fiery eyes, a gaze as intense as it is curious. Good evening. You may present your gift, she says.
Good evening, and offer the gift with a slight bow.
How you doing, Toots? We got something for you.
A nearby servant moves to grab the box and hands it to Aislinn. She unlatches the box and opens it. She stares at the contents while pushing a ringlet of hair behind a pointed ear. Then, returning her gaze to you with the barest indication of a smile, she speaks. This is a beautiful gift. How very thoughtful of you.
Do we see what this gift actually is? Do we know what it is?
You do not know what it is.
Super thoughtful.
What is it?
Could I try to get a peek at it?
Give me an investigation.
Is that something I could do as well?
Yeah, any of you who wants to try to take a peek at it.
Well, that's a big fat two.
I got a big fat 21.
I got a 19. Can I see what's going on?
You notice some sort of like arcane dust coming out from the box, but it's unlike anything you've ever seen before. She hands the box back to the servant, who places the item amongst the hundreds of offerings in the corner of the hall. Given that
our guests are not as worldly as you, I have a request. I'm hosting a game, a murder mystery, to reveal the truth of someone's death. I will send La Chismosa to handle your questions and guide you along. And once you feel you've had enough of the party, you can find her in the wine room. However, you may not leave the estate until you have made a proper guess.
Out of curiosity, what is the reward for playing such a game? Do we get one of our wishes granted or something?
I assure you, if you were to correctly guess the identity of the murderer, your prize would be something well worth it.
Are you sure about that? How do you know our tastes?
Is your staff playing this game as well?
Well, to answer your question, and looks at you, Stella. To answer your question, I assure you, as you can tell, I have a taste for the finest things in life. I doubt that the prize would be something that you would not enjoy. And turning to you, Gretz. No, the game is only available for the partygoers. Staff is not included.
Roger that.
Like, I feel like we need to bust out our Benoit Blanc accents.
And so is there anything else? And before you could even answer, she snaps her fingers, and the woman standing beside her, a woman who is cradling a leather-bound ledger with an inkwell, masterfully balanced in her pale black-nailed hand. She has a circular cut in her form-fitting white robes, which reveal a blue flame resting where her heart might have been. The telltale sign of a Whisperborn. Now, y'all would know that a Whisperborn is a person that is born of a secret. All of you roll me arcane checks.
The D&D Beyond Dice do not love me? That is a 6.
Mine's a 22.
That is a 14 for Silas.
10.
Luckily, Grin knows this and assumedly will let the rest of you know. All of you know that a Whisperborn is a strange creature born of a secret. However, Grin knows a little bit more. They know that a Whisperborn is born when a parchment bearing their truth is consumed in the bonfire of the Wandering Mother. Whisperborn are made with a fire for a heart, which is their fire, and it can only be snuffed out if the secret that created them is spoken in their presence. And so as a result, every Whisperborn protects their origin at all costs.
It's a rough life.
Out of curiosity, do we see any other Whisperborn at this party so far? Like, have we seen any others at this party so far?
This is the first you've seen. You haven't seen any.
Is this something we would commonly encounter? Or is this something that's, I mean, fairly rare to run into in our day-to-day?
It's something, like, it's not extremely rare. It would be, I mean, it's not out of the question that you would ever see one, but
it's a fair minority,
right?
Stella's going to, she's going to ask the Whisperborn, out of curiosity, are you the only Whisperborn here?
She clears her throat. In order to assist you, I have brought forth something to aid you.
What a great answer to my question.
When you and another person grip this, and she holds out a what appears to be a rod, you both will be unable to lie. I must admit I regret being bound to this duty, or I might join you. My wrists and ankles are tied, my mouth gagged by obligation. Her black painted lips curl up in a modest smile, but in service I find satisfaction. She opens up the black ledger that she has. Now, may I please have all your names?
I'm Gretz.
Silas Behrens.
My name is Grin.
You can call me Stella of House Finbar.
Enjoy the gala. Thank you. I hope to speak to each of you more in a more private arrangement sometime. I'm certain you all have enthralling anecdotes, she says with a more than a hint of sarcasm in her voice.
The rod. Does the participant you're asking the question to, do they have to be aware that they're holding this, or like, you couldn't just, they have to literally grip it and be aware of it, as opposed to like, you can't just touch it to somebody and they have to tell you the truth.
Silas, you asked this question and a look of visible annoyance crosses Estelia's face. It's your basic rod of truth. You hold it, someone else holds it, and while either of you are holding it, neither of you can lie. You can't just touch it onto somebody and expect them to tell the truth. It's not how it works.
Well, of course. How foolish of me. Silas says with a note of annoyance as well.
We just walk around with this rat, like, to everybody. Are you the murderer? Are you the murderer? Are you the murderer? I guess they could just say that they do not want to tell you. That would be truth.
That's a good point.
Even Zone of Truth doesn't require them to actually answer the question. They could just say they don't want to tell you, right?
No, actually, you're absolutely right. You're not compelling them to answer your questions, I guess.
Estelius continues marking on her ledger. Looks up at you. Oh, you're still here. You will find the other guests to be remarkably different than you, I expect. They are rich.
Ouch.
But I'm sure you could find some common ground.
And I must ask one question before we go and make our merry way with the other guests.
Go ahead.
Are the other guests as, how do I say this? As charming as you are?
She snaps her ledger shut and says, I assure you, they are not.
Oh, that is most unfortunate. I was actually enjoying your company.
At this point, a servant begins to guide you out of this sectioned off portion of the hall and back to the main hall. Once you arrive back, you see servants running around, other partygoers. You hear music from one section of the house. You hear shouting and yelling, not anything aggressive, but perhaps due to some kind of game being played. You see servants carrying plates of food and drink into a room. Other servants coming out with plates of half-eaten food. Decanters that are empty, also walking out.
Garcon, I need a drink.
Servant comes in, holds a tray out to you with several goblets on it.
What do we got here?
There's a red wine, a white wine, and some type of liquor.
I'm taking the liquor.
I think Bryn would grab a drink and would appear to do some sort of prayer over it.
Stella's going to grab two goblets of red wine, and she's going to look for anyone that is, like might appear to be, you know, alone at the party, without a friend or without company, and she's going to approach them and offer them a drink.
Stella, you see a broad man with a retreating hairline and groom stubble, gesturing to a pair of dancers nearby with a finger. He sees you kind of approaching him and says,
which of them is getting screwed, do you think? Who's after the money?
You can see a twinkle in his eyes. You can tell that he's joking. Probably.
I'm Simon. No, not a lord, just a merchant with a long bank receipt.
Stella being completely serious, like as if almost the joke maybe went over her head or she just chose to ignore it, says,
well, with enough money, I believe anything is possible. So take your pick.
I like the cut of your jib. So, what brings you here?
We're here to enjoy the party, of course, enjoy the pleasures that are offered, and apparently there's a game, a murder mystery game. I'm quite interested in solving that and reaping the rewards.
Oh, yeah. Aislinn, I don't know what the prize is, but trust me, if she's throwing the party, if it's her game, it's going to be a one hell of a prize. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, I bet it is.
Excuse me, one moment. You see him kind of like hold his chest a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think I ate too much cheese earlier and then drank too much of that liquor. Just excuse me one moment. And he starts to walk off.
Stella looks at him repulsed as if she literally just saw like the most disgusting thing she could imagine and walks away like nope, I'm done.
From where you're at right now, like I say, you there's you can see a dance hall just off into the distance. You know, that's in the next room over. You can hear the music, you can see through the like large doorway, open doorway. There are people dancing. That's where Silas and Simon were talking. You hear some sort of like boisterous shouting and yelling. Not anything aggressive. Probably some kind of card game, perhaps, taking place. And then you see servants coming in and out of a room, which you assume would be some kind of dining room because most of the plates that they're carrying have food or drink.
I think that Silas would want to check out the dining room a little bit.
You enter the dining room. You see 24 round dining tables covered with pristine cloth, arranged with plates and glasses. A feast of meats and fruits is delivered to anyone who sits long enough by a servant dressed in plain white robes. Polite conversation and haughty chuckles permeate the space, many keeping up appearances with acquaintances they rarely seek out in other settings.
How many people are actively like sitting around eating and everything? It's pretty packed.
It's pretty packed. There you see about 2 to 3 dozen people.
Okay. Shot in the dark here. This may seem like a silly question. Does anyone look like a wizard?
No, they all look like nobility.
No one looks like Gandalf sitting there amongst them.
Yeah, they all look like the kind of people that would ask you if you're parked in their neighborhood, if you know, like, you know, why you were there, and they're just asking questions.
Yeah, it's like, I'm sorry, do you live in this neighborhood? That's my husband's spot out front.
Exactly.
Is there a head table or a focal point to this dining room, or is it just a long table or tables?
There is a head table that is currently no one's sitting at.
No one's sitting at it. There open spots at this table?
It doesn't appear to be.
And no one seems to be kind of the main attraction in here. Everyone seems to be on even footing.
Correct.
Okay. Well, then I would just go ahead and pop down at the closest available spot to see if grub is brought my way. You see, Silas is pretty fresh on the material plane from the Shadowfell, so he's just happy to be anywhere.
And yeah, you sit down and almost immediately you're asked what you would like to drink, what you would like to eat.
Well, a big smile on his face, and he starts requesting everything. Bring me red wine. Bring me some of that cheese. Bring me some of that, some of those meats over there, and points at something, and whatever that is.
And you are getting fed, and you are getting drinks almost immediately. Now, Gretz, you hear the shouting, the yelling. You walk into what appears to be some kind of parlor. Satisfied hooting and anguished cries bounce off the walls of this competitive game room. A few tables bustle with flourishing hands exchanging chips, coins, cards. Others watch as dice rattle across the table. Mathematics is applied to the result, and then tokens move in response. The tobacco smoke that covers the ceiling like a curtain slowly ebbs out through the open windows. Separated from the crowd is a wizened older gentleman a few paces away from a boisterous card game. He observes the game with a puff from his pipe now and then.
I'll talk to that guy.
What do you say?
All right, buddy, what are we playing?
This wizened human appears to be in his 50s, with a hefty set of creases in his sun-weathered face that speaks to his laughter and sorrow over the years. Round spectacles rest over the bridge of his broad nose and slightly magnify his warm brown eyes. On his shoulders lies a thin white coat, buttoned low and complemented by a golden sash tied at his waist. His intense red undershirt and leggings are tied together by bronze buttons and delicate embroidery. I am not playing anything, as you can see, and takes a puff from his pipe.
Well, yes, I do have the power of sight, but I figured you would know what's going on here. And you weren't playing, so I'm not interrupting a game.
Just a game of three Dragon Ante.
Huh.
The men playing have nothing better to do than to gamble away their money and take each other's money and lose their money and win it back. It's a life of... It is a life that seems trifling and boring to me as he takes a puff of his pipe.
So why aren't you playing nothing?
I'm above such trivialities.
Oh, does it make any sense? Why are you in here then?
Oh, I was invited. I'm never going to miss a good party. A good chance to eat and drink for free.
I mean, fair. That's fair.
But what about you, stranger? What brings you here?
You know, we were invited to this party just like everybody else, and, you know, open bar, dude. So here I am, and
of course.
Just trying to find the most interesting people in the room. Can I come talk to them? That's what I do. How you doing? My name's Gretz. How do you know the host?
Puts his hand out. Pleasure to meet you, Gretz. My name is Ruhail, and I know the host through dealings in and about town.
Wow, that was vague, but you keep your secrets, buddy.
He has introduced himself as the wizard you are looking for. Do you want to find the rest of your party, bring him in here? Do you want to tell him what you want, what you're here to do immediately?
I'm gonna hold these cards close to my chest, so to speak, and I'm just gonna bullshit with him for a while, try to get a rapport. I'm a ranger. See if he has any interest in the outdoors. If he does, I don't know, relate a tale. Just, you know, regular party stuff. To just be buddies.
Rin, what do you want to do?
I was hoping to find where exactly this murder mystery thing is happening and just wandering about, seeing what everybody's doing.
You're wandering about. You make your way into the dance hall. You see people moving around. As you kind of stand there surveying the scene, you hear sort of behind you and to the side, "You don't dance? Me either. It's nice to watch, though."
Ah, yes, I don't like touching.
Man, you turn around, you see a man standing in a red vest with a fold over the right breast in a tan skin. Build that is of someone equally prepared to princess carry a lover or kick in a door, with clothing creases provided by his body rather than a tailor. He thumbs at a chained golden timepiece as he talks to you. He's leaning on the wall. He comes off the wall and tucks the timepiece away and approaches you. The pleasant smile on his lips does not reach his eyes. "Good eve, I'm Seraph. I'll be your guide for the game tonight. It's about to be announced in the wine room, actually. If you have questions in regard to the game itself, I suspect La Chismosa will cover the basics. Then I can attend to any lingering queries. Or I can lead you on a tour around the estate."
"A tour would be great."
"Oh, I would... happy to show you about the estate, but do be forewarned, if you get into any trouble, be aware I am not permitted to participate, as much as we're becoming fast friends."
do you suspect we will be getting into trouble?
Well, I do hear rumors that one of our guests has gone missing in the garden.
Well, you know, maybe we play it safer around the garden then.
Surely. I might consider dying in your honor another time, though. Sadly, I'm under contract with the vineyard to remain unharmed for the duration of the game tonight.
I mean, if harm comes your way, I guess I won't interfere either, so.
He chuckles. Fair enough. And your name is?
It is Grin.
Well met, Grin. Oh, how are you enjoying the party so far?
Well, I mean, I just arrived. Not much to speak of so far.
Have you eaten? Have you drank? He snaps his finger. A servant with a tray of goblets comes up to you.
Well, I have a goblet in one hand. I guess I will just take another. I'm double fisting it.
Bryn, did you come alone?
I have a few friends wandering about.
Well, as I said, Chismosa should be explaining the rules of the game here shortly. If you like, we can accompany you to the dining room.
Yeah, I mean, we can make our way and meet up with people as we get around.
And so he kind of guides you towards the dining room. Stella, you're still in the dance hall. As the band winds down its song, and the band leader says, "Now will everyone please make their way to the dining room? The game is about to begin. Please make your way to the dining room." And so the dancers on the floor begin to shuffle out. Do you accompany them?
Yeah, Stella would absolutely follow them into the dining room.
Meanwhile, in the game room, Gretz, you are talking to Ruhail about bows and arrows and traps to catch rabbits, and he does not seem all that interested whatsoever. Before he's able to tell you to scram, however, a servant comes into the room, clears their throat. "The game is about to begin. If you would please make your way to the dining hall." And so the other people in the room, they start throwing their cards down. They start talking to each other like, "I'm going to get you next time. We're going to run this back." But they all start to shuffle out. Ruhail stands up. "Well, Gretz, that was a fascinating whatever it was, but
yeah, thanks. You're gonna have to tell me some stuff here. Let's go. Let's where they're headed. Let's do this."
Yes, let's make our way.
I'm gonna keep myself close to him. If he tries to get away from me, all right, but I'm just gonna follow him around basically and look for my party so I can get their attention.
You walk in, you see Silas in there just gorging out, just eating all sorts of food. It appears as if Stella and Grin have recently arrived. And Grin is standing with a young gentleman. Everyone, roll me a perception check.
Ooh, dirty 20.
That's going to be an 8.
Mine is a solid 1.
7.
Say, Grin is too overwhelmed by the events.
Got you nice and drunk.
Probably shouldn't have taken 2 drinks here.
Gretz and an older male walk in, joining the 4 of you. And Seraph says, "Oh, where have you come from?" Asking Gretz and the older gentleman.
I just came from the gaming hall where I met this really interesting fellow. Why don't you introduce yourself to my friends here, please?
Ruhail, charmed. Thank you. The younger gentleman says, "Gambling certainly has its place in my heart. I prefer cards if I have to pick one. There is some chance to it, but skill is rewarded more often."
"I love games of skill. What's your poison?"
"I prefer cards." And he looks over at Grin. "Excuse me, is he with you? Has he been drinking a lot already?"
Yes.
I see.
I mean, it seems like that's just a state of being for him.
"Well, the game should be starting here shortly. If you would like..." And as he's talking, Gretz, 2 of the men that you were in the game room with, that you recognize from the game room, have been, like, kind of
trash talking each other the entire time, walking to the dining room. And it's starting to escalate. And suddenly one of the men stands up and shoves the other, who's sitting down, shoves him so that he falls over into his chair, and they begin to brawl. They bump into the table that Silas is sitting at, and as that happens, one of the men grabs one of the knives on the table and swings it at the man he's attacking. The stray knife misses its target and hits Seraph squarely in the chest.
Seraph, no!
It sounds like a glass window shattering as it collides. And as Seraph stumbles back, you see the luminescent blue flame shine through his torn clothing. Seraph is a Whisperborn. He shrugs to you as he sheepishly pulls a knife out and drops it to the floor. The commotion reaches a fever pitch as the two combatants are dragged by guards from the room, kicking and yelling. Fortunately, a knife to the chest is going to... It's going to take more than that to put me down.
What was Ruhail's reaction to Seraph catching the knife?
Roll me a perception check.
Not nearly as good. That's an 8.
You weren't able to... you were too caught up in the commotion. You weren't able to see Ruhail's reaction.
And his is Ruhail just like hanging off to the side?
Yeah, I mean, he's at this point, you know, things have settled down. People have begun, people in your immediate area begin to take their seats again. And Ruhail takes a seat at the table that Silas has been sitting at.
I would kind of like nod in recognition to Ruhail and kind of try to strike up a conversation with him. So, Ruhail, where do you hail from?
Oh, here and there. Hang my hat in several different places.
And do you find yourself in such luxurious company here often?
Not terribly often, but when the opportunity arises, I never turn down a free meal. And he kind of elbows Gretz in the arm.
Ah, of course. So, I mean, you don't come here that often? I mean, how long have you known Seraph?
Well, Seraph, I don't know who you're talking about. Is it the young man that you're with?
The person that you just, was just stabbed in the chest.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know his name. I assume he is, in the employ, of the Vineyard of Aisling. Many Whisperborn are.
Is that their lot in life, to serve the rich and powerful?
Unfortunately, it's when your existence is beholden to a secret, should someone find out what that secret is, it can be used to blackmail a Whisperborn into servitude.
Hmm. Interesting. Who, obviously this was an invitation party. Who invited you? Out of curiosity, you must be here with somebody.
Oh, I'm not here with anybody, but Aisling invited me.
Ah, okay. Close friends.
Associates.
Ah. And in what terms do you associate?
Business matters.
It's like getting blood out of a stone. I apologize for my forwardness. You see, in the Shadowfell, we're a bit more loosey-goosey with the details, you know?
Hmm. Well, you are on the material plane now, and some things are better kept close to the vest.
Of course, I'll have to keep that in mind moving forward, I suppose.
He grabs a drink and raises it, like, as a toast.
Silas will raise his drink as well.
What are the rest of you doing right now?
I'd say when I went to the floor to be like, no, Seraph, I also pocketed that knife that he dropped on the ground.
Roll me a sleight of hand check.
That is a 17.
Okay, yeah. You are able to hide it one of your pockets, pouches, like inside your boot.
And then I like stand up with Seraph. I'm like, ah, you're fine.
Seraph like fixes clothing as much as possible. Yes, I'll be fine. At this point, you hear another loud crash at the head of the room. A woman in a black and red corset dress bursts out from under the table. The table flips over and crashes into a noble who stumbles and spills their drink. Plates shatter as she begins her speech. It is I, La Chismosa, here to declare that no one is safe from murder so long as this mystery goes unsolved. And just so that you know, I've been waiting under that table for hours scrutinizing your ankles just to prove how unexpected murder can be. You see a woman before you, a woman of pizzazz, an extravagant show head to toe, with just enough frilly dress to show her sass and a coat of knives to carve her foes. Oh, your breeches are big? Let's see what they're full of. She reaches into the sleeve of her coat and pulls out a dagger, then takes off running. Fight me, you cowards! Everyone roll initiative.
Get her!
Mine's a 13.
That is a 21.
7.
That's a 22. Is this woman just like, was she just in the middle of a speech and then started running at us with a knife? Or?
Pretty much, yeah. She burst out from under this table, started making a speech, pulled out a knife, and then said, fight me, coward.
Alright, cool. Wonderful. This might be a bit of a stretch, and I hope it's not an action. Does she have murderous intent? Like, would Stella be able to tell that?
Roll me an insight check.
Ooh, that's a, this is a flat 10.
As far as you can tell, this woman means business.
Well, then Stella's going to mean business as well. And she's, how far away is this woman?
At this point, she is about 60 feet away from you. And this is in a crowded room full of other guests.
Wonderful. Stella's going to whip out her bow, and as she knocks an arrow and draws it back, the arrow itself starts to kind of like engulf in brambles and thorns, and she fires a arcane shot, grasping arrow, at this woman. Does a 10 hit?
The arrow whizzes past her. Silas?
Yes, Silas will quickly create an eldritch cannon that is on the table. It looks kind of like a mini AT-AT, and will use my bonus action to fire its force ballista.
All right.
That's a 7.
Shoots off to the side, nearly takes off the head of one of the other partygoers. Bryn.
Well, I was casting Tasha's Hideous Laughter, which has a wisdom 13 save.
That is a 17.
Boo.
As the arcane energy makes its way to this woman, she begins to cackle almost condescendingly at you. And it is her turn. And Grin, she is going to dash toward you and attack you with her dagger. 25 is going to hit. 6 points of damage.
Ha ha! Let me see what your insides look like.
Gretz, it is your turn.
So I'll use my longbow. And 9. Does that hit? No.
Your arrow flies completely wide, not even close. Stella?
Stella is going to rinse and repeat with the grasping arrow. Rambles around the arrow, and we are going to roll that... All right, I'll take that 16.
That is a hit.
For a total of 13 damage, and the brambles last for 1 minute until you use this option again, or until any creature uses an action to remove them with an athletics check. DC is 10. So she just took 13 damage, and then if she tries to move, she takes another 2d6.
As a reaction, she twists away, and as she twists, one of her petticoats comes off, and she is no longer bound by the brambles. Yeah.
What kind of special nonsense is that?
Do it again. See what else she loses.
I'm afraid I'm out of special arrows.
She cackles wildly. It's gonna take more than that. Silas.
I use my bonus action to use my force ballista with my Eldritch Cannon again. Does a 16 hit.
16 hits.
10 force damage. And you are pushed 5 feet away from the cannon.
This energy hits her, knocks her back 5 feet. Oh, y'all like to play around.
And then I will use my action to cast Firebolt. Does a 12 hit?
That misses. The fire, she's able to dodge out of the way. It hits one of the servants, and he screams.
Oh, no.
And has to stop, drop, and roll.
Sorry, fella.
Bryn?
It's always time for Eldritch Blast. Got a 16, 5 damage.
You see kind of some blood like fly out of her mouth as this energy hits her. Oh, yes, Daddy, give me more.
I mean, I would, but I only get one attack per round.
At this point, she cackles, and out of her sleeve comes out this what appears to be something red and smoking. She throws it in the middle of your group. Everyone make a dexterity saving throw.
20.
That's a 19.
That is a 9.
24.
Everyone but Silas is knocked prone from the explosion, but you take no damage. Silas, you take 1d6 fire damage, and you're also knocked prone.
Ooh.
This explosion hits. There's smoke everywhere, some flames, and when the smoke dissipates, this woman is nowhere to be seen. The rest of the partygoers are talking amongst themselves. They're a bit frenzied, panicked. What are the rest of you doing?
I'm going to start looking for tracks.
I was about to say, Stella would get up. Like he said, she would start looking for tracks as well while it was still fresh. Or at least like any sign of like an exit, maybe like ruffling curtains out of a window that was exited, or, you know, a door ajar, or anything.
Roll me survival checks.
All right, let's see. 11.
18.
Neither of you see anything. However, one thing you do notice is that Seraph and Ruhail don't seem worried or bothered at all.
Is this weird to you guys? I mean, like,
I assume you're familiar with this woman.
Seraph speaks up. That is La Chismosa. She is a firecracker. And as he says this, the same woman comes out from behind a curtain at the head of the room where she was originally at, and holding a megaphone, she shouts into it.
Hello, hello, so sorry to be late. I know this is the first time you've ever seen me. Don't take any other stories to the contrary. They're full of lies and deceit. I am La Chismosa. I am sure you are all wondering why you are here. Well, my patrons and guests, somebody in this manor is a murderer. And it is your job to find out who. Distinguished guests, unscrupulous rascals, goonish ne'er-do-wells, fat cats living off the backs of others, and every single person in between. Let the game begin.
And she lets out a piercing cackle. And that is where we will end off this installment of Tales from the Tower, the Undead Gala. We'll be back soon with part two, and hopefully we find out who the murderer is. Thank you so much for listening and for supporting the show. Fare thee well, dear listener, and until we meet again, may all your 20s be natural.
Thank you for listening, traveler, and we hope you join us again for the next Tales from the Tower.
Listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.